For my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So for 9 months, 9 months, Mary and Joseph waited for the birth of Jesus. This morning's story takes us all the way back to that beginning and to all of the anticipation that was wrapped up in and surrounded the birth of Christ. You remember, it first was Gabriel's announcement to Mary. And then the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and turned his whole world upside down. And then 9 months of waiting. And when it was finally time, and at the worst possible moment, they had to travel to Bethlehem for a census. And so all of her meticulous birth plans thrown out the window, Mary had to deliver her baby in a stall. Well, then things got really crazy because the shepherds showed up and they had this crazy story about angels appearing in the sky and telling them that this baby was the Messiah and, oh, this is how you can go find him. And they talked about thousands, tens of thousands of angels in the heavens, singing, chanting glory to God in the highest and peace upon whom his favor rests. It was amazing. So only a few weeks later, as Joseph and Mary walk to the temple to perform this ritual of purification that was required in the law, they had no idea what to expect. Simeon had no clue either what was going to happen this day. Simeon was righteous. He was devout. And he had one desire. He longed to see God's kingdom come. As was foretold by all the prophets, he longed to see the Messiah. And what's more, God promised that before he died, he would witness the coming of the Messiah. See, Simeon, waited patiently for this consolation of Israel. Israel needed consoling. I mean, it had been more than 400 years since God had spoken to them by anyone. And in that time, things had gone from bad to worse. They had been released from exile, yes, but only to be ruled by one kingdom after another. And now they lived under the oppressive regime of Rome. So amid all the struggles, though, of being an Israelite and having to submit in the midst of all of that mess, Simeon knew that salvation would come and that he would witness it. So finally, this consolation, God's plan, arrives in the form of a baby. And as soon as Simeon sees him, he realizes that the promise has been fulfilled. And the elation just runs through his body. He tingles as he reaches out and he picks up the baby and says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." redemption had come. And it had come for the whole world. I mean, all the nations, not just Israel, would be reconciled to God through this little baby. Simeon's anticipation that dwelt so deep within, that deep longing, was finally fulfilled. Here was the answer. Not just to his promise, not just to the promise that God gave him specifically, but here was the answer to all of the promises that had gone before, to Abraham, to Noah, to Adam, to David. All of the promises of God were wrapped up and fulfilled in his child. This was the age-old answer to how God would save his people. And that answer lied peacefully in his arms. And it was at that moment that his mission was complete. The purpose of his life had been fulfilled. And now he could die in peace. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered how long Simeon held on to that specific promise. It doesn't tell us. When did the Holy Spirit tell him that? Was it 9 months? 9 years? 90? How long did he wait? How long did he wonder? How long did he think he was crazy? How often was he tempted to give up? And how often do we find ourselves in situations just like Simeon's? I mean, this story is us. We live life longing for something to happen. We live life longing for God to show up. Well, we can look back at those moments where he comes and speaks and he gives us a promise, something to hold on to, something to hang our hat on. But then from that moment forward, too often, it's like, when? When are you going to fulfill your promise? And we go through the ups and downs of life. We go through the struggles, the joys, the hard. We go through the mundane. Day in and day out. And we wait for something to happen. And it doesn't. That was probably most of Simeon's life. We hold on to promises seemingly unfulfilled. And what this story says to us is Jesus comes and he is our consolation. Jesus came at this presentation. Jesus is the consolation of Israel. He's the answer to all of Israel's hopes and longings. But when Jesus comes to us, he is our answer, our hopes. Amidst all the pain and disappointment in our own lives, amidst all the sorrow and confusion, the slavery and oppression, he shows up. And he is there. See, Simeon's longings, lifetime longings for peace and freedom, along with ours, are all answered in this promise of Christ. And in the continuing promises of Christ, he promises us wisdom. He promises to finish the work that he started in us. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. There is nothing that can separate us from his love. And he promises to return. See, just like Simeon, we wait to see the Messiah. Simeon waited probably all of his life. And we wait too. But this time, we wait for the second coming. We wait for the fulfillment. And we do so patiently. Simeon's story reminds us that we are to rest in these promises and more, and to wait for him to fulfill them in his own good timing. At the same time, Simeon is not naive about the struggles of life. He's not naive about the hurts and the hardships that we face. He realizes that the road ahead for this family is not going to be easy. That there's going to be pain. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be hardship. Because the other thing that we see in this story is that though the Messiah had come on this day, though he was being presented to the temple as the consolation of Israel, this kingdom that he represents is still in process. I don't know if you've noticed this, but up to this point in the narrative, Luke's story of the prophecies that have been revealed from Gabriel all the way to Simeon, the prophecies had all really focused on the positive aspects of Jesus' coming, right? Jesus would bring comfort and joy and peace. And this makes Simeon's next words somewhat startling. It should catch us by surprise. He says this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And then he says, looking at Mary, he says, and a sword will pierce your own soul also. Who would dare oppose the Messiah? Who would dare stand up against him? And what does it mean, a rising and a falling? Was he not the glory and the light of Israel? Those are pretty positive things, right? And what is this warning that he gives to Mary? Well, on the wall of our bedroom, by the door, there are two light switches. One goes to the lights and the other goes to the fan. And sometimes, in the middle of the night, when it gets too hot, and I get up out of bed, and I stumble across the room in the dark, and I reach out to the wall, I flip the wrong switch. Woo! See, when your eyes are accustomed to the dark, that's painful. That hurts. And it's the same thing spiritually. Christ comes as the light. And we've already seen where he comes in the midst of great darkness, deep darkness. And when that light shines, when it dawns on all creation, quite frankly, it can be uncomfortable. It can be painful. Simeon goes so far as to say the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. See, when light comes, things that are hidden are exposed. For some, that's a good thing. For many, it's not. But for all of us being confronted with the light demands a response. See, though some would faithfully receive this light, what Simeon is saying here at the beginning is that many will not. Many would reject Jesus' message. Others, by the grace of God, would embrace it. The former will fall away and be excluded from his kingdom. The faithful will rise and be welcomed. So there's this separation of the sheep and the goats that he's talking about. Jesus doesn't come to bring love and joy to all. But his glory comes to those upon whom his favor rests. And yet, even those even those who embrace the light must still submit to his revealing power. This is what we call sanctification. The light of Christ gloriously digs deep into our inner thoughts, into our soul, and exposes the muck. It exposes the things that complicate and fill our hearts. Sins buried and ignored are brought to light and exposed to the love and grace of God. Deep hurts, pains that have been buried for so long, that we shove into the corner of our souls, those things that have been hidden in the darkness for so long, are brought into the light. And not to be exposed to mockery, but so God can heal them. Last week we talked about light comes. One of the things that happens with light is it brings healing and growth and health. Those pains, those sins are brought to light so that they may be exposed to be dealt with, and that we could find comfort and peace in our brokenness. Sometimes the dawning of light calls us to suffer for Christ. This is the word of pain for Mary, because along with the reality of joy of raising a child, and I know that's a big statement because sometimes even that's not even a joy. But along with the joy of raising this child is the pain of the reality of what's in store for him and for her. And the thing is, the light of God often calls us into situations that are uncomfortable, that are painful, that sometimes feel compromising. See, we don't see this in our culture, but in other areas of the world, the light of Christ calls people into slavery and to death. Some people actually foolishly believe that when Jesus comes, everything's going to be all right. Sorry, I wasn't trying to be Jamaican or anything like that. But everything is going to be all right. And that's really not the case. Because the reality is pain comes to everybody in some form or another. And the light of truth never stops exposing our hearts. It never stops digging deep inside of us. And that's a good thing. Because in the hands of a God who loves us, this can only lead to healing and peace. The brokenness and pain that dwells into the deepest parts of us, in the face of that light, has the opportunity of being turned into joy in the face of truth. See, the joy and the fear and the confusion that Mary faced around the birth would not compare to the pain she would ultimately feel as she knelt at the foot of the cross of her own son. And here in the temple, just weeks after his birth, the crucifixion is squarely in view. That's the sword that will pierce her soul, just like the spear pierced his side. The baby that brought so much joy to Simeon, this light that would bring revelation and glory to the world, this baby would also have to go through the cross. And yet, even she had to walk through that pain. Even she had to go through life to receive this incomparable love that comes through Jesus Christ. Because the salvation that Simeon longed for was not merely political. It wasn't merely social. It wasn't just the restoration of the people of Israel. This was about the salvation from the broken relationship that existed between God and humanity. See, that was the light of the revelation and the glory to the world. That's what came in the form of this baby. And we open up ourselves to that light because it's only here that we can find true peace with God. Jesus does all of this. He comes as a baby. He suffers through life. He goes through that whole existence for you and for me. And he does it. So now we, having seen salvation, so we could then depart in peace. We have seen the salvation that has come to us and to the whole world. And it is Jesus Christ and his light that he has shined upon us. Amen.